must be the most stupid broad in the world.
Don't call me stupid, and don't call me a broad.
Well, you are. You don't have any sense at all.
Who are you to talk?
Hey, what's going on?
Dad, my sister is so dumb. Oh, I can hardly believe it.
Why? What did she do?
She's getting all hung up on her phony new boyfriend. Wow, what a loser.
He's not a phony.
Yeah? Look, all he's really interested in is hustling you into bed.
Bill?
He doesn't really give a damn about you or anything else for that matter. He's so selfish and self-centered, it's not even real.
Sue?
Well, I didn't think he was selfish. And he is cute.
Cute? That grubby slob?
Hold on, Bill. Go on, Sue.
He's kind of groovy.
Groovy? He's freaky.
Bill, why are you so down on him?
He keeps telling me that he's doing his thing. And I'll tell you, Dad, as far as I can see, all that means is doing nothing except maybe trying to get Virgin Sue to sack. That guy doesn't relate to anybody. All he's preoccupied with is satisfying his own wants and the hell with anybody else. And man, did you see his hair?
Well, when's the last time you went to the barber?
Oh, yeah, I do my thing, and my hair's long, but it's all washed and combed. You know, I don't think he ever washes that filthy mop of his. But Dad, my real beef is that he uses the idea of being yourself as kind of an excuse to do nothing and to contribute nothing to anyone. As far as I'm concerned, he's nowhere.
But, Bill, if that's his thing...
Yeah, but Sue doesn't see him realistically. She's so hung up on some romantic idea about this guy. And that's not where it's at. Dad, she's going to get clobbered.
I am realistic about him.
The heck you are. Look, he doesn't know where it's at. He says he doesn't want to be a part of society. I gotta tell you, that's the biggest laugh of them all. Whether he or we like it or not, as long as we're breathing the smoggy air and living in the messed up ecology, we're all part of the total scene. Yeah, sure, maybe a complaining part, but nevertheless a part. Look, I'll be honest with you, Dad. I don't dig a lot of the establishment. Sure, your concepts and your values, well, maybe they work for you, but well, they don't all work for me, you know? And as far as I'm concerned, well, some of them are with it and some aren't. But I recognize the value in what you have, and I don't reject everything as worthless. That's just stupid as well as non-real.
Go on, Bill.
Well, I kind of like the idea of having a lot of fun while I'm young, you know? I want to enjoy my youth, but I also see the value of planning for the future. I believe that if we don't, well, when it comes, there just won't be much of an environment left to have fun in. Between, well, you know, like littering the earth with the debris of civilization and polluting the air with exhaust emissions and, well, I don't know, killing off plant plankton that produces, what do they say, like 8/10 of the earth's oxygen with the insecticides that wash into the ocean. Boy, if nobody plans for the future come 30 years from now, there won't be enough oxygen to support life around here anyway.
You're absolutely right.
And Sue's boyfriend, he's so self-centered, he doesn't want to get involved. He's just plain lazy, man. Dad, you're not the generation gap. We communicate. We express our ideas and feelings back and forth. You say you learn things from me, and, well, gee, Dad, I know I do from you. We relate. But he doesn't relate to anybody. He's the generation gap.
Uh-huh. That also applies to adults.
And you know the pathetic thing about it? The thing that just really gripes me? If he doesn't shape up and find out where it's at, I'll probably have to support that slob, that gutless wonder in a couple of years. And probably not only him, but some dumb chick he's knocked up and their kids are all going to be on welfare living off the establishment. Because, well, when you get right down to the nitty-gritty, he doesn't have what it takes to make it on his own. But right now, all he wants to do is make it with Sue. Damn it, he treats her like a whore.
Don't be vulgar.
Well, don't be uptight about the truth. If the shoe fits, baby, wear it.
Bill, I think you're being a little out of line. The term doesn't fit Sue. Her feelings, thoughts and actions are not those of a whore, but of a healthy, normal teenage girl. What you said is vulgar, not because you called Sue a whore, per se, but because the word was improperly used.
Oh?
Look, there's no word that is within itself vulgar. Words are made vulgar by inappropriate use. What often sounds vulgar to one's ears in one context may be delightful and exciting in another. Words used should truly apply.
I never thought of it that way.
I guess neither did I, Dad. You know, Bill, you talk about hustling, but you're no angel.
Yes, but I'm honest with my girlfriends. And I try to avoid bad relationships like the plague.
You've never gone on a bummer?
Yes, I have. But when I'm going with a girl, I try to make it happen. You know, a kind of an equal relationship, an equal sharing. We're both involved, you know? I mean, like, no cop-outs. You don't have that with your boyfriend. I see you trying to relate, but all I've ever seen him do is put you down.
You're right. He does put me down. And that beats me.
The biggest problem I see in my medical practice with the greater sexual and emotional freedom among young people today is the frequency of bad relationships they make, which are extremely destructive because of cruelty, physical and verbal, inadequate sharing, and lack of real love. Pleasure is taken selfishly. In our culture today, women are able to find complete fulfillment in a relationship. The day of a female suffering in silence, being unable to express her feelings, unable to have sexual fulfillment, is over. She can have all these things, provided she makes a good, honest, sharing relationship, where both people care enough to fulfill each other's needs.
I guess I'm lucky. My generation is emotionally freer. Our music, groovy clothes, the whole scene. A more honest expression of feelings. In some ways, a little less hung up.
That's true. That's the way it is. But with this freedom, in order for it to be meaningful, there also has to be a feeling of responsibility for your feelings, actions, and for your world. Then you're not just saying or just acting as though you care, but truly caring. And those who care, those who give a damn and are not afraid to relate, act, and do constructive things with their lives, their world, and their love, they are the beautiful people, no matter what the age.
You're right, Dad. And that's beautiful. But, Dad, I'm confused about me. I have mixed up feelings, you know, about getting involved with guys. I'm mixed up and uptight. Some of my friends swing, and listening to them, I sometimes feel out of it. And when I get turned on by a date, wow, I feel guilty wanting to make love. I want to, and at the same time, I don't. I value myself and my body, and I don't intend to give myself away. But...
First of all, you can't give yourself away. No one can own or possess you. You can only share yourself. Sharing your body, your thoughts, and emotions, since they belong to you alone and to no one else.
But when is it right to share myself?
Well, I'm not going to harangue about the sanctity of marriage, the ethic the minister talks about. You know about that. But as a physician who's seen a lot of this side of life, I feel that you shouldn't get involved in an intimate relationship until you, as an adult, are emotionally mature enough to handle it totally, able to cope with your feelings and your sexuality without guilt, inhibition, or phoniness, but with love, tenderness, and honesty. No one, and I mean no one, not mom, myself, a boyfriend, or even the church can tell you when you've arrived at that stage in your adult life. It's something you have to experience for yourself. And it should have a certainty feeling that it is right for you. And if it doesn't, back away from it. Hopefully, when this confrontation occurs, it will make you feel free and fulfilled as a woman.
Is that what my girlfriends who swing feel?
I can't answer that. Only they can. Has a 16-year-old girl really reached adult maturity? Unfortunately, Many 16-year-olds, as well as adults, make what they call love from the neck down only. They're not making love. They're just having intercourse and satisfying only some of their needs. They're biological ones, and they're not relating. This leaves them only partially fulfilled, often with guilt and regret and a peculiar kind of emptiness. And many say they don't feel clean afterwards. It's disappointingly sad. You see, in order to totally love, to have total communion, it has to happen on all levels, with your emotions and your mind, as well as with your body. The difference, oh, it's profound. It's the difference between a partial and complete relationship. And who wants to settle for something less?
Yeah. I guess that's kind of like, like making it with a prostitute.
What?
Having intercourse with a prostitute.
That's right, Bill. Going to bed with a prostitute usually means you get a big act, as though she's responding, but that's all it is, a big act, so she can get through and go on to the next trick. The one thing a prostitute doesn't want to do is really respond. If she did, she'd fatigue early in the working evening. And responding means relating to the man and the possibility of emotional involvement, which she really doesn't want. These girls are in the business strictly for the money. In a very real way, they are also putting men down generally, as though saying, "You're using my body, but I'm only putting you on. Nothing is really happening for me. You're not such a big man after all. Only doing it for your money, not for you." And in most cases, they have a deep-rooted hatred for men because of their own feelings of feminine inadequacy.
Wow, you know it. She takes your money and doesn't really make it with you, and all the time is maybe even hating and ridiculing. There's no love and romance there.
That's true.
But Sue's such a romantic nut. She gets hung up on guys like her boyfriend and thinks she's in love when all she is turned on. You know, I don't think she knows the difference. And he feeds her the line, "Well, if you love me, you'll prove it."
I may be one of the last great romantics, but I'm listening and I am learning the difference.
I feel you are. And when it comes to your moment of total sharing, where you put your emotions and your body on the line, I believe you won't do so lightly or haphazardly, but in a meaningful relationship that has depth of feeling and an encasement of love that will fulfill you.
You know, Dad, sometimes I still can't tell the difference between a girl who just, well, you know, like, turns me on sexually and one who I have true feelings for. Well, at least not always at first.
Initially, it may be difficult. But think about it. You'll realize that although you can't always tell the difference at the onset, with the passage of time and the growth of the relationship, the picture clears. As you get to know one another's behavior, personality traits, and ideas, find out if it's a sex turn-on or if you really care for each other, provided you don't kid yourself and romanticize to the level of unreality, even where there has been an intimate involvement.
My brother, the great lover.
Aw, come on, Sue. Knock it off.
In order to truly understand, you have to know, how does one fall in love? How does it all come about?
Well, how does it?
Well, it's based on your specific individual needs, primarily your emotional needs, although your sexual and intellectual needs also play an important role.
Oh?
Yes, two people are attracted and fall in love because they've found a mate who fulfills those needs, complementing their unique makeup. And although your love feeling is on a conscious level, it occurs usually in the subconscious, often with a total lack of awareness of why it's happening or how it's happening. All you usually know is that you have a feeling of love and also like the person.
Well, what's the initial attraction?
It's usually physical characteristics or personality mannerisms that are similar to someone previously liked, loved, romanticized, or reacted erotically, sexually turned on to. And then if there's that fulfillment of emotional needs, that special chemistry, a strong love bond develops that progressively strengthens as there is continued fulfillment with tenderness, understanding, and consideration.
But I seem to get turned on by a lot of girls. And yes, I feel I even love some of them.
All your life, you and Sue will meet people who turn you on, and some who will evoke love responses from you. Some of these involvements may be good, and some of them may be bad. And with experience, you'll rapidly come to know the difference. Life's sexual offerings are like a smorgasbord where everything looks appetizing. But you don't eat everything. You're selective. Similarly, with emotional maturity, you progressively become selective with whom you share your precious moments.
Dad, where does religion fit into all this?
I don't feel that I can give you a purely theological answer. Perhaps our minister can, but I will say how I feel it fits. Religion helps set the pattern of ethical and moral values in our culture, wherein there is set forth the unique value of each individual with a distinct relationship to his God, a God who also blesses the love of man and the sexual expression of this love. And the individual who is capable of spiritually communing with his God is also capable, through the love blessed by God, to commune spiritually with his mate.
What does that mean?
It means that you're able to share yourself not only physically, emotionally, and intellectually, but on a spiritual level as well.
That's far out.
The inner spiritual being of man, his eternal taproot, that I don't see leave the body of a patient that has died, but rather sense and feel has left its former physical container with the passing over of death, his true soul, may also be shared and touched through love.
That's heavy.
That's beautiful, Dad. You know, sometimes I really feel unworthy.
You're not, Sue.
When my boyfriend put me down, he got through to me. He made me feel that I was really not worth much. It's like I didn't know anything.
We never know all the answers, Sue, or what the right thing to do is all the time. We just do the best we can by facing and resolving situations as they occur throughout our entire lives, thereby maturing. No one truly expects a 16-year-old girl like you or an 18-year-old boy like Bill to have the knowledge, the experience, and judgment of a more mature 25 or 30-year-old. Not at all. However, this does not mean that you shouldn't continue to struggle with your problems.
But that doesn't make me feel any less inadequate.
That's understandable. Everyone, at one time or another, has feelings of inadequacy, of not being sure of themselves, not feeling in control of the situation. But the anxiety you feel about your inadequacies is very important. It acts as a catalyst for you to confront the problems of growing up as they arise and solve them, thereby maturing. Unfortunately, many teenagers, as well as adults, don't know how to cope with their anxieties or where to seek help, whether it be about their bodies, their complexions, their sexual feelings, or just some thoughts that are upsetting them. And rather than struggle with it and try to solve their problems or seek help where it is available from friends, parents, family doctor, minister, or the hotline, which is open 24 hours a day in many cities, they bug out. They never really get rid of their problems. And bugging out, they only retard their emotional growth.
They never grow up?
That's it. They never emotionally grow up. Never mature.
Like your boyfriend.
Oh, him. You mean my ex-boyfriend. Hey, Dad, do you often rap with kids who come to your office like this?
Yes, particularly with those who come in for their premarital blood tests. We talk about sharing, emotional, sexual, and intellectual fulfillment, communicating with one another, developing mutual interests, just plain having fun together.
Well, isn't that usually done by parents or the minister?
Unfortunately, not often enough. I believe that people about to be married should seek out this type of togetherness counseling with their minister or doctor if it is not available or if they're not able to find it at home.
Like getting the rules before you play the game.
Yes, before you play the game. That's for keeps.
You know, Dad, Bill and I are really lucky.
How's that, Sue?
Well, I don't think there are many kids that have groovy parents like you and Mom that rap as you've always done with Bill and me. And you're never too busy to find time for us. You treat us not just like your children, but as individual human beings.
That's true, Dad. You do listen to us, and you make us, well, you make us feel that you value our ideas and our feelings.
I do, Bill.
Another thing. You know, you never turn us off or make us feel kind of, you know, stupid.
You're not stupid, but intelligent, sensitive people who are learning that life and its ground rules apply directly and personally to you as well as others. And we love you.